Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Get the most out of Mass by truly understanding the reading. In the Word of the Lord series, John Bergsma makes the scriptures come to life. Get your copy of Reflections for Cycle C this new liturgical year. Visit our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road to learn more.
Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and Franciscan University of Steubenville, coming to you on this Wednesday of the 34th week of Ordinary Time, which is the memorial of St. Andrew Dung Lok and his companions, martyrs from that beloved country of Vietnam. So it's appropriate that on a day dedicated to the memory of martyrs, we are going to read about martyrdom in the gospel. But first, our first reading, which is from Daniel 5, which is the account of the last party that King Belshazzar ever gave. This, historically speaking, took place in the year 539 BC, probably in the month of October, when King Belshazzar was co-regent with his father, who's not mentioned in the text, who is another king by the name of Nabonidus. But again, King Belshazzar was co-regent of Babylon. Cyrus of Persia was invading Babylon and rapidly conquering it. But in the midst of that dire military situation, Belshazzar is still so vain that he is feasting and banqueting. And he calls for his servants to bring out the sacred vessels that were used in the liturgy in Jerusalem. And he and all his retainers and wives, etc., are drinking from the sacred cups that were used in the holy worship in Jerusalem. And as he does that, the image of a human hand appears and writes a message on the wall. This is where we get the cliche, read the handwriting on the wall. And Belshazzar doesn't know how to read it and interpret it, so he calls for Daniel, the Jewish exile, who had served all of the Babylonian kings going back to Nebuchadnezzar for a very long career. He's probably in his 90s by now. He's called and asked to interpret, and Daniel comes into the royal banquet hall and agrees to read what the supernatural hand had written. And at the end of the passage, Daniel says, "This is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Tekel, and Peres." These words mean, Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. And Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Now, these words were also units of ancient Near Eastern money, the mina and the shekel, called here a tekel, just a different pronunciation, and the peres is a coin. And so there's a pun going on here. It's like, you know, dollar, dime, nickel, something like that is this sequence. But mene also means numbered, and tekeled is related to a Semitic root meaning to weigh, and peres to an ancient literary root meaning to divide. And so we have this wordplay going on. Well, what is the message for us? Well, the Babylonian Empire was so powerful at its height, it seemed like it would never end, and just dominated and destroyed people's culture. And it looked like it was going to completely annihilate the Jewish culture and faith from the face of the world by exiling the people of Judah to Babylon, where gradually they were being assimilated into pagan cults. But in very rapid fashion, the power of Babylon was broken, and Cyrus of Persia mopped up the Babylonian forces. And on the very night of this banquet, the forces of Cyrus the Persian diverted the river that flowed through Babylon, diverted the Euphrates, and that emptied out the aqueduct, the channel that ran through the center of the city, and the soldiers marched in unopposed through the waterway and captured Babylon, which had been considered an impregnable, undefeatable city. And Belshazzar was captured and slain. And so what the message is for us, people of God, is the foes of God can seem, oh, so powerful, but they are numbered, and they have been weighed, and they will be judged, and God will triumph over them. That was the faith that inspired St. Andrew Dunglock and his companions and enabled them to persevere through the many persecutions that the church in Vietnam has suffered over several centuries. And speaking of persecution, let's move to our gospel reading, Luke 21, verses 12 through 19. Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You'll even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." Well, what a sobering reading for this week near the end of the liturgical calendar. This could sound rather daunting, but there's reason for hope as well, obviously, in this passage. Let's look at some of this. I want to focus on a line that occurs early in the reading. Jesus predicts that we will be seized and persecuted, but then he says, it will lead to your giving testimony. That is the positive outcome of persecutions. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of dire warning signs going on in world culture. We see softer forms of persecution, like just cancellation going on. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, we all know it can get a lot worse than having your Twitter account frozen. That's kind of a first world problem. It can get a lot more brutal than that. It is that brutal. I should say, it is a matter of life and death brutality in many parts of the world. We think of our Catholic brothers and sisters in Nigeria who are subject often to kidnapping and death and torture by Muslim terrorists in that country. We think of our brothers and sisters in North Korea who are incarcerated and tortured for the faith there and in many other countries as well. And that may happen in our country. God didn't promise us that it wouldn't. But what is the positive thing? It will lead to giving testimony. Martyrdom is the ultimate evangelization, and it is a great privilege in the broader perspective of things to be called on by God and to be empowered by Him to lay down our lives in witness for Christ. And we are certain that there is a great reward for those who are called to that vocation and who are faithful to that vocation of martyrdom. That's why we're celebrating Andrew Dunglock and his companions today. Let's look at another part of this reading. At the end, Jesus says, "You'll be hated by all because of my name." That doesn't sound very positive. "But not a hair on your head will be destroyed." And I always wondered about that because the immediately previous line says, "They will put some of you to death." And so I'm like, well, you know, fat lot of good it does for not one of my hairs to be destroyed if I'm dead. So what are they going to do, cut off my head, but preserve my hair? Reminds me of St. Thomas More, who asked for his beard to be tucked away from the swordsman's blow at his beheading because the beard had done nothing to offend the king. But anyway, what is this idea? Not a hair on your head will be destroyed. I think, brothers and sisters, this is talking about the resurrection. Just as a reading that we had earlier in the month where that holy Maccabean mother counseled her sons that God created the whole world out of nothing and he could recreate their bodies for them in the resurrection. So, you know, that idea of not a hair on our head being destroyed is really an expression of hope in the resurrection of our bodies, even if we are tortured and killed in this life. We know our physical bodies will be restored and transformed in the resurrection, and every hair of our head will be restored as well. What a beautiful hope. Let hope in the resurrection of the dead inspire us to stay firm in our commitment to be faithful to Jesus and to his church, no matter if that means having people criticize us on social media, being canceled, maybe losing our job now, maybe harder forms of persecution that may face us. But let's stand firm, because we know that we have an eternal reward that will make all of these temporal punishments look silly and fleeting from the long-term perspective. Well, this has been Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and Franciscan University of Steubenville, wishing you a happy and holy memorial of St. Andrew Dunlac. Pray for us.
Letters from Home is a production of the St. Paul Center. Our commentators include Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Mr. Rob Corzine, and Dr. James Merrick. Our production team includes producer and technical director Rory Mitrick and sound engineer Joseph Palmer. Subscribe and rate Letters from Home wherever you find this podcast. The St. Paul Center is a nonprofit organization facilitating life-transforming encounters with the living Word of God. To find more faith-based resources, including Dr. Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed, visit stpaulcenter.com.